Now on News Talk, as part of our winter season of documentary on News Talk, we journey into the extraordinary world of Irish cosplay in Princess Alien Doctor Hero.
All over Ireland, people regularly make and wear the costumes of superheroes, characters from fairy tales, or creatures of their own invention. It's called cosplay.
My name's Sean, I'm from Cavan. I am a retail manager in real life, and today I've come as Magneto from the X-Men.
My name is Linda, I'm from Dublin, and I'm cosplaying Yuno Gasai from The Future Diary.
Mark Hannity, and I'm from Tala, and I'm here today dressed up as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Hi, I'm Leah Russell, I'm from Swords in Dublin. In my spare time, I draw, I wish I was this cool, and I'm Harley Quinn.
Clue Cosplay is an award-winning cosplayer from Galway.
I actually work in a lab, and it's a very different ball game to what I do in my cosplay life. I prefer to keep my cosplay life and my work life as separate as possible, just because I'd prefer that some of my colleagues don't know about that, because I'm not quite sure how they're going to interpret it. I don't want to have to deal with a situation of people are going to think this is some kind of fetish, something a lot seedier than it really is. So I prefer to keep it as separate as possible. The cosplay community has been expanding, and it has been fantastic because we've been able to get more access to better materials for cosplays, better tutorials. Even within just the Irish scene, things have been expanding, and cosplayers themselves have been developing as individuals as well. And since I've started cosplay, there's been a massive focus about cosplay positive. And there's fantastic panels that are being run lately as well about body confidence in cosplay and just dealing with negativity in cosplay, and kind of saying, if you want to cosplay that character, you cosplay that character. No one's allowed to judge you for that.
Meanwhile, in a garden shed in North Dublin.
The neighbours always think it's great fun looking out the window when I have tons of body parts hanging up on the washing line. The prop shop workshop is just a 10 by 8 foot wooden shed. There's spray paints, moulds, sculpting clay, tools, plenty of tools, latex castings of Predator armour and costume parts, and bags of plaster, white spirits, more paint, more paint, more paint.
Brian Campbell makes costumes and props. His specialty is the Predator, an alien trophy hunter from the 1987 film of the same name.
The one behind me at the moment is my own version of the Predator costume. I call him Bloodclaw. He's just a big, ugly looking, nasty Predator. The Predator costumes we're currently working on essentially started back in May. I was going to do one for myself for Dublin Comic Con, but a few friends I convinced to do Predator costumes, then involved me having to sit there, take body casts of the guys, sculpt all costumes then to fit them, cast them all. So it's been an ongoing 6-7 month project at the moment. It's a great feeling that something you made personally in your hands that somebody wants to either wear or to have. I'm lucky that I have a very, very close bunch of friends who also attend the conventions, and we've a group for us, the Predators Ireland group. Like I said, 12 of us in full costumes out at any of the conventions, just out having fun. But the fun aspect of it overrides everything. So no matter the blood, sweat and tears and pain and everything you have to do to put the costumes together, at the end of the day, when you see smiles on faces and you're posing photographs, everything is just out the window and you're just having fun, and that's the main part of it all.
Cosplay in Ireland was once the realm of Trekkies and sci-fi nerds. Several factors have led to it becoming more mainstream. A growing interest in Asian culture, cosplayers finding each other on social media, and finally, around 2010, the advent of cosplay-oriented conventions.
Wow, this guy is actual. Do you want to bid against yourself? We've got 140 for the sick kids, no? Sure, would you like to go to 140? 130 going once. 130 going twice. Sold to that gentleman there for €130. Thank you very much.
Wayne Talbot is a podcaster on the subject of nerd culture in Ireland.
I'm with a group called the Irish Pubcast. We're a podcast that have been on the kind of the geek scene in Ireland for the last, say, 5 years. And as throughout those 5 years, we've gotten heavily involved in a lot of different conventions. And Dublin Comic Con had us on here this year to do panels, Q&As, and also host the cosplay competition and charity auction. So the cosplay competition entails of us bringing in, basically organising the cosplayers, having the judges on stage, and we're basically the announcers on stage, bringing the cosplayers up, having them display their cosplay to the audience and to the judges, and then let them do a little, they always do a little thing, like something to do either with the character, or if they want to do like a little bit of acrobatics or skit thing, like that's generally what they do. I definitely see a growth in skill. So you have cosplayers that make their own costumes. Like these are full on, like some of these are amazing looking pieces of, they're pieces of art basically. They build them from scratch. There was a lady here today who built an elfin armor, so say something like, say akin to some, to a character from Lord of the Rings. And she built it herself out of leather. Like actually made it herself out of leather and crafted the entire costume, which is just insane, insane level of skill. You also have other people that do stuff in paper mache. They build stuff in rubber. There's particular materials that they have that they would use. And it's all a skill. It's all a craft. And a very good craft, a very amazing craft. And I know myself, I wouldn't have the temperament to do it. You do need a certain temperament to be able to do something like that. And the skill has grown in the scene over the last 5 years. You see people that started 5 years ago doing small cosplays, and then they gradually build and build and build, and they come up to conventions like this and they have these beautiful pieces of work that they've put a lot of time and a lot of effort into.
This is Sean from Cavan, the retail manager that we heard from earlier.
You basically, you look for inspiration from photographs and you try and develop a pattern from those. Then it's down to transferring the pattern onto foam or your cloth or whatever you're using at the time. And then it's a lot of cutting, hot gluing, that kind of stuff. But it's it can be a long process. It can be up to 2 or 3 months of evening work and stuff at weekends. Real life does get in the way. It's a bit of a running joke at this stage. I started off doing Halloween costumes, and with the convention scene starting to take off in Ireland, it's providing more of an outlet, and it seems to be taking off. There's a lot of people starting to go for it as well. It's an escape from reality. Simple as that.
Eternally Miku is a cosplayer from Offaly.
I'm cosplaying a character in the video game called Monster Hunter, where she wears her Kurin armor, which is basically a Japanese term for a unicorn, who she slayed, and wore as her new form of armory for protection from slaying other monsters. You just feel like a different person, you just feel more powerful. I think it depends on the character. Like, if I cosplay as Hatsune Miku, who is a Japanese singer, I just feel so much joy, I just want to run around, dance around, laugh. If I'm cosplaying this character, I just feel strong, confident. I just feel like a whole different person, just a whole new different person. And people around me, they like play along with me, different characters. We just have fun with it. Like, we basically different characters and just have fun. That's the main thing, is just have fun with it. Cosplay is actually a term that's short term for costume and plays, where you costume as a character, I don't know, Game of Thrones, anime, manga, even maybe Twilight even if you want to, like anything you want, even The Little Mermaid, anything. And you just play as the character, you just act as them, just have fun with it, you just get to be them for a weekend or a day or whatever.
At a cosplay masquerade, cosplayers show off their creations on stage in front of an audience. For some, it is the first time they've been in the spotlight.
Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe many of you would have seen this next cosplayer around the event, largely because he towered above most of the rest of the show. Graham is here cosplaying as Nightmare Before Christmas's Pumpkin King, Jack Skellington. Last-minute note to the tech crew. Number 20, we can't find right at the second. We think we had her earlier, but now we do not. Nor, and I know, 21 and 22 have also, I think they've All three of them eloped, I reckon. So we are going to move on to Catherine Dunley and Angelica. They are here as their three favourite champions from the online MOBA League of Legends, Forecast Janna, Kitty Katarina, and Generation Ari.
Want to be serious in the cosplay, like show off your craft, like you're pretty much depends on the competition. Some competitions just judge on your costume or the way you pose as the character. Those are the main competitions in most cons, but there are some cons that specialize, like World Cosplay, Euro Cosplay, which is where you represent your country. For this competition, it's all World or Europe, and you pretty much have to have the costume 100% accurate. Like, it's 40% for accuracy, 40% for construction, and 20% for performance. But that varies. That's in Euro Cosplay. It varies in different competitions.
I stay away from the competitions. I'm happy enough to judge my own costumes. I think you're your own worst judge in these things.
Emma from Dublin is entering the cosplay competition in an original costume she designed and made based on a pet dog she had. It's an elaborate full-body costume with long tail and ears, coated in three shades of fur.
My character is a German Shepherd dog called Duchess. She is a big, foolish pup. She's a digigrade. She's a big, bouncy, lovable thing. And yeah, she was actually my dog. So she passed away, so I wanted to kind of remember her like this, so. Everyone loves her. It's weird, everyone absolutely adores her, and that's what I wanted. I wanted people to like her, because I loved her. Where the head's concerned, I actually made a foam base, so I kind of made it looking like a dog. I had an initial drawing of what I wanted, and I basically duct tape dummied myself and built it according to what I wanted, with the feet and all that, with foam. And then I got fur and sewed her all together, bit by bit. It's absolutely fun. I go to college, and it's after a long day of college and all this work and stuff, it's lovely just to be something else and just be a dog as such. Just to do silly dog things, jump around, run around. It's really fun, and people's reactions are the best part of it. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to dance. Hopefully I'm dancing to Taylor Swift, Shake It Off, and hopefully they'll love me. Hopefully.
My name is Cinzia, I'm from Italy, and my character is Fiona the human from Adventure Time.
The whole illusion and mystery behind this creature that comes here and hunts us for sport, you know, you got to be armed, he's got to see you as worthy prey. He's not going to pick on someone sick and old. He wants the biggest buck out of the bunch to take, and the fact that he keeps your skull as a trophy to say, yeah, I killed this guy, it's cool. You know, when first watched the movie, I was young, and when you watch him hands on the helmet and slowly take off the helmet to reveal his face, it was insane. Like Arnie Schwarzenegger, you know, Mr. Olympia, when you would see this gigantic creature who just picks and slaps him around the place like he's a nobody. A lot of it is just generally moving up clay and picking up balls of clay, putting them in areas, trying to pull them back down, trying to get, if you want more clay, slapping more on. If you have little hoop tools, a lot of it is just pulling out parts and little tweaks here and there. Every few seconds, just stop, have a look, check your reference photographs, then see where you need to readjust. Symmetry is always a huge issue, but with most things in life, symmetry is always by the eye. You could easily sit here using the calibers and get your sculpt as close as you can, but I prefer to go things by eye, sculpt both sides symmetrical together, left and right side.
My name is Breed, I'm from County Meath. Today I am Michelangelo, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In real life, I'm a music student and a singer.
My name is Zara, I come from Crumlin, I work in retail, and I've come as Nanon from Kill la Kill.
The last character I have fully finished up would be Mocha Akashia from the Rosario and Vampire manga. Overall, I think I've spent about 3 or 4 months on that cosplay, between ordering fabric and just planning everything out and doing tweaks here and there. The first convention I wore her to was KaizokuCon in Cork. Overall, the length of time was kind of skewed slightly because I had to order the fabric for her skirt from the States, because it was just impossible to find a plaid pattern that was close to what was in the manga. As well as with Mocha, it was the first time I made a blazer from scratch, which was a really interesting experience. It was a learning curve, which was fantastic. I like learning new things when I'm doing cosplay and being able to kind of pick up new skills and figure out, like, okay, so I did it this way last time, so we're going to try it this way and see if it improves it. And she's probably my favorite character to date, because it's just, as a character, Mocha is just this badass vampire who just really doesn't care and can kick ass, which is always positive in my book. She has a serious impact on my confidence in a positive way, which is always great at convention. I just feel powerful and strong when I'm cosplaying as her.
The actual hobby of what was once known as costuming began in the US. Although only a handful of attendees dressed up for the first comic book convention in San Diego in 1970, the popularity of films like Star Wars and Superman ensured that by the end of the decade, comic cons were teeming with Wookiees, Vulcans and various shiny suited aliens. The term cosplay was invented by a Japanese game designer in the early 1980s. It was first used to describe fans at a convention in Tokyo, who dressed up as characters from manga and anime, the Japanese equivalent of comics and cartoons.
It seems to be getting bigger, and as convention, at least in Ireland anyway, because as the conventions are getting larger, more people are coming in costume, and it seems to be growing.
Stephen Lynch is a costume maker from Dublin who cosplays under the name Whittle Wade.
You got to figure out if it lines up properly, and you know, if you don't, it's a very expensive mistake, because dye sublimation isn't cheap, but the results are worth it. They, you know, you can get these movie quality costumes for, you know, for a fraction of what the studio who originally built them might have spent on it. Then the other parts, like some parts have to be sourced. For instance, I can't make boots. Like, I don't know what to do to make boots, so I had to buy the boots, I had to buy the gloves. There was a kit to build the helmet, but then I did a lot of body work to get it smooth, and then you still have to paint it and install a visor and, you know, make sure how it opens, how you're going to put it on your head, and then just various other parts. Just be casting if you're into molding and casting, which is a completely different area altogether. So you would probably find that a lot of cosplayers would know a hell of a lot about various different things when it comes to building items. They need to know sewing, they need to know painting, they need to know casting and molding, they need to know, you know, colors, they need to know, you know, just so much wig styling. Some of them are probably hairdressers at this stage, you know. So it's such a smorgasbord of information that some of these cosplayers have, and just to the level of knowledge that some have and can impart to other people is just huge, and especially here in Ireland with some of the cosplayers we have around.
What's different about Irish cosplay?
American cosplay and Irish cosplay don't differ all that much. I think originally, maybe a few years ago, it would have been a case of Ireland like emulating what America is doing, but now we've taken on what they've shown us, and we're going further sometimes. There's some huge, huge builds, and now we're getting sort of internationally recognized as a community for cosplay, and it's great, really, to be honest. It's nice to get recognition for once, like as a country, because we're so small, to be rated so large on the international scale. some of the push in America is to try and be famous with it, whereas here in Ireland, I don't think we're too predisposed with trying to be famous. I think we're just here to have fun, which is what it is supposed to be all about. I think sometimes there are folks that forget that, but there's always a way to bring everybody back to the fun element. If you're not having fun, why would you be doing it? You know, that kind of thing.
We celebrate what we are, and we celebrate everything we love here, and that's what makes it special. Every convention that I've ever worked at has just been basically people there having fun and in meeting their heroes, meeting people like the guests that we had the last 2 days here, meeting those people that have meant so much to them, you know, in their TV shows, in their comics, in their films, in their anime shows that they love, in their cartoons that they love. And it means a lot to them that they get to meet those people. But even the guests are saying, well, the Irish fans are just so much more approachable and so much more fun, and they're bowled over by it. And we do know how to have a good time.
So, have you made your choice?
Walking off the street and into a Comic Con is like stepping onto the set of a dozen different movies that are all being made at once. There is a constant stream of cosplayers going past from many different genres. A toddler in an Ewok costume from the Star Wars universe. Captain Jack Sparrow having his picture taken with Batman. Manga girls. There is every colour and fabric from pastel green silk to white leather to crimson spandex. There are also stalls selling action figures, toys, clothes, and exotic sweets. Some of the stalls specialise in Japanese products, reflecting the origins of cosplay. In one corner, painters and sculptors exhibit and sell their work. In another, the special guests of the convention sign autographs and have their picture taken with fans. There are sections where people play fantasy card games and video games. And in the main hall, there are the public interviews, panels, and costume displays.
You're listening to Princess Alien Doctor Hero on News Talk 106 to 108.
I was born in 1978. I started going to conventions in the late 80s. And they were small things. They were small groups of people meeting together to meet their favorite authors, their favorite, you know, artists. And it's everything from comic books to films to novels. Everything, the games as well, particularly games. There's a lot of gaming conventions in Ireland. And it just grew and grew and grew. And now with the pop culture explosion of everything geek and everything nerd, it's become more mainstream. So now this type of thing like a convention, you have multiple conventions in Ireland there's one particular one that focuses heavily on a lot of stuff like cosplay, which is ArcadeCon. Dublin Comic Con has embraced it as well. And there are other ones as well, smaller conventions that have the same level of commitment from their attendees. So yeah, it has grown over the years. We are still growing as a convention scene in Ireland. There are a lot of conventions every year, but it's still growing. Like last year, this was out in the Sword Show Jungle Bring Arena. Now it's in the convention centre in the middle of Dublin City. It is growing and it's going to keep growing. But it'll always be a convention for fans, by fans, as will other conventions like ArcadeCon, NomCon, Erdicon, all of them, GaleCon. They're all convention fans. So much so, we are so good at doing this and getting so good at doing this that we are in a bid for WorldCon in 2019. And the WorldCon guys were here. And they were here and they're in the bid, and they've got a very good chance of getting it. Now, if WorldCon was to come to Ireland, that would put it on the map big time. And we have the facilities and we have the ability to be able to do it, and I think we can do it. The bid has to go in by 2017, but they were here at the convention telling people about it. I think Ireland's con scene and the people that run it, they're all fantastic people. And they're never in it for anything more than doing something that they love. That's the difference between this and, say, some of the bigger conventions in England. Now, that being said, some of the conventions in England are run by people who love what they do as well. Like, there's one comic conventions there, like Thought Bubble, that are nice, that are fantastic. But some of the other ones are just corporations. That's all they are. If you ask any of the professionals that come to any of those conventions, they rival, if not beat, any of the big conventions in the States for atmosphere and fan outreach. And, like, I mean, people are shocked by how... it's strange. People are shocked by how friendly the Irish audience are. But yeah, I mean, I probably will eventually make it to the States, but I will be constantly comparing it to how it isn't as friendly as the Irish convention scene.
It's great when you have people queuing up to take photographs. It's surreal that, you know, people want to photograph with me. Why me? You know, I'm only here, I want to get photographs of certain people, and yet people are queuing up for me. We were up in Belfast at a Belfast Film and Comic Con on Halloween Day, and at one stage we had to be asked to move away from the guests because people started moving away from the guests to queue up to take photographs with us. So that was a good one for us because it said a lot. You know, there was a lot of work gone in for the 8 costumes that went up. That was a great feeling, you know, people queuing up left, right and centre, and when you can't move for an hour because you turn 2 inches to your left and there's another 20 people queued up that side, you know, it's a real image booster. You know, it's an awesome feeling that people are queuing up, people want to take photographs with you, you're having fun in the costume. You know, it's again a complete escape and break from reality.
When we're in the Ninja Turtle costume, you've kids running up and they're hugging you, they're convinced you are the turtle. You play along with it, you are the turtle now, so you're high-fiving them, you're jumping around, having fun with them, showing them karate moves, and they're replicating the moves to you. When I grew up as a kid, I remember seeing, I think it was the second Ninja Turtle movie, back in 1991. I was still 5 years old at the time, and I remember just getting high-fived by Leonardo and Ninja Turtle. They had four guys in costumes. Now, I know, looking back, they were terrible costumes, but I didn't care, I seen the Ninja Turtles. So if I'm like that when I was a child, for other people, like, just do that for them now is the biggest boost you can ask for, you know, that just makes me happy on the inside.
Children are welcome at comic conventions, but they are not the main audience. If superheroes had business conferences, this is what they would look like. There are panels and workshops with topics like body confidence, video editing, and how to become a voice actor. Some conventions are sold out weeks before they happen. For some, a queue of 2 hours for tickets is the norm. Sinead Cawley is the director of Erticon, Ireland's largest convention for fans of anime and manga.
I first got into it in, 2010 was the first time I went to Erticon, and had a brilliant time and decided to volunteer in 2011. Which is also the same year that I started in DCU, and since we're connected with DCU, then I was able to become involved in the committee as well, and now here I am. Back in 2010, we had less than half the attendees that we currently have now, and the vast majority of the attendees will cosplay, so that's like a huge increase in the number of people who are coming to the convention wearing cosplay and who are getting an interest in cosplay. I think that it gives people a chance to just be someone else for a day, to escape from their normal lives and take on a different persona maybe, and meet other people who are also all wearing different personas and just have fun with it. As a convention, we're promoting anime and manga, which are all, you know, forms of Japanese media and are just an integral part of Japanese culture. So by proxy of the fact that people are coming here and watching anime, they're reading manga and they're playing Japanese games, they're becoming more interested in Japanese culture because they become curious about the things that they see in the anime and read in the manga. I think it's becoming a bit more kind of generalized, but it's still, a minority interest in the range of interests in the world. It is a minority one, and it would be considered perhaps a bit more of a nerdy pastime. But we've really noticed in the last year, 2 years, that we've had a huge increase in the number of families coming. So there's a lot of children who are just seeing these things on TV and in shops, and they want to come check out these conventions, and a lot of their parents seem to enjoy it as well. So I think it's becoming a little more kind of moving away from being a really, really nerdy hobby.
The overwhelming effect of the convention experience is an appreciation of the openness that cosplayers show to different cultures and of the fascination that they have for history, technology, and the future. Although cosplay might seem like another world, it has been steadily gaining a foothold in popular culture. When Rachel dressed up as Princess Leia in a 1996 episode of the sitcom Friends, it was considered an almost unmentionable fantasy. A decade later in The Big Bang Theory, all of the main characters cosplayed.
It's seen as odd that adults, young and old, would dress up as characters. But as I say, people have been doing it in superhero films and science fiction films for decades. Yet when you do it for free, for the love of the show and to pay tribute, I suppose, to the movie characters you're doing, it's seen as odd. And I think it's starting to get more mainstream now. It's very nice when you're walking through a convention and people will stop you and ask you to take your photograph. It vindicates what you've done, the work that you've put in, I think.
Mainstream helped change attitudes. I think that happens a lot of the time. It's been happening for years, i.e. even in music and any kind of creative form. A lot of the time people think that, let's say, a painter might be weird. Like, I'm sure that when they came out of the Renaissance and then all of a sudden people started doing cubist paintings and they're like, oh, that's really weird. And then all of a sudden it became mainstream. Picasso was a name, and all of a sudden Picasso and cubism, oh, wow, it's great.
One of the negative aspects of cosplay is when people leave inappropriate or hurtful comments on social media.
With social media, you obviously posts are public. So anyone from anywhere in the world can see that picture and they can put some rude comment on it. And I think the important thing is that you just can't take it on board. If someone says something nasty about you, I mean, you have to ask, when did sticks and stones stop being relevant? You just ignore it. It's bullying. It's bullying. That's the best way to put it. And you just have to ignore it.
What happens when friends and family find out that someone is a cosplayer?
At first, they just kind of thought, oh, you'll get over it, it's just a phase or whatever. But I think they've seen now that through the attention that it gets sometimes, or like I've been in a few newspapers and things, and, you know, I've been seen on, you know, celebrity Twitters and things like that as well. So I think they realize that it is actually something that has value and worth, and it's not just me being, you know, a bit sad or whatever. But I don't think that's the case. I think they've accepted it now. One of the things I think that is happening is movie costumes are becoming more elaborate. And therefore, when cosplayers try and emulate that, they have to learn new techniques. And I almost feel that the studios are doing it on purpose because they want these people to innovate. And today's cosplayer is tomorrow's wardrobe supervisor. There's a lot of fan films out there. YouTube has allowed people to create this fan content. Depending on who the studio is and whose intellectual property it is, sometimes some studios go, no, you can't make that, you know, take it down. But a lot of the time people have to make their own costumes in them. Like, I do believe there was a trailer for a video. Someone made a fan-made trailer for a video game, and then the video game company sort of adopted it, saying that this was amazing. Like, and I think it was the Skyrim one, I could be wrong, but that was all fan-made, and there you go. Like, it can be done, and I think the between the fan creation and the regular Hollywood film industry is getting closer all the time. And I do think cosplay is a good way of bridging that gap. I think when a costume is impressive, people take notice.
So there's a few effects industry professional effects artists that I know, and you've never now and again to ask, here, what'd you use for this, or how'd you get this? So when you've the likes of the big guns asking, you know, how are you getting this done, so you know you're doing something right, that they're taking note. To work in the industry, you know, I have a lot of guys I admire, Steve Wang, Casey Love. You have ADI Effects Legacy, which is formerly Sam Winston Effects, who originally did the original Predator movies. The likes of those guys are, you know, they're heroes. They're what I watched as a kid, and it was always a case of when I watched the movie, I'd always watch the second disc to see the behind the scenes of how things were made, because that interests me more to see, you know, these guys are the ones that created the movie magic. So I'm lucky enough through the likes of Facebook that I've managed to speak to a lot of the guys, and, you know, it's great getting points from them about how to do things and how, what to work on. If I can make a career of it, that'd be an ideal job. So hopefully just keep working, and if you get spotted, I get spotted. Otherwise, I just got a fun hobby that I can just continue to do for the rest of my life.
There are many reasons to cosplay.
I just feel so confident, so happy in my character. Like, whenever I get out of cosplay, whenever I get in cosplay, it pretty much exactly feels like Cinderella in rags into a beautiful dress. I just boost in so much confidence. So much confidence. I just feel, oh my God, I look so cool. Like, I can do anything. I feel so powerful. It just feels like that. Yeah, it's just, I would love to feel like that every day. Like, I'd love to feel like that.
I'm 6'6", so I'm a very, very tall guy. Before what happened to me, I think I was 11, 12 stone. I'm now 25 and a half. Luckily, I don't show it as much as I should. I was a guy into all sports, football, rugby, swimming, cycling, walked everywhere. Was a typical guy. I went out once on a weekend with all the guys. And I was the quiet one. I sat down and watched the table full of drink while the rest went off dancing and enjoyed themselves. I was a serious guy. I went in, went to work, came back home. That was it. That was my life. Watching sports all day long on TV, hanging out with friends. Typical, what I consider typical everyday person.
After a serious injury a few years ago, Brian found that the intricate work of putting costumes together took his mind off the long recovery process.
First or second operation was a case of I had to sit down. I was told, do not move. Your leg had to be elevated for a few weeks. You have to take it easy. Do not do this. Do not do that. You spend every day looking out a window. It drives you crazy looking at that window. Again, you just go into a dark mood where you're like, what's going on? You know, what am I doing? I'm doing nothing. I'm fed up. I'm annoyed. I can't do anything. So with the first prop I had was a Predator helmet that I got sent over from a friend. And just to sit there with a Dremel and bit by bit clean it up, prep it, just take out all the blemishes and sit there sandpapering it, then you're painting it with spray paint and stuff like that. And, you know, your mind completely took off all the pain and suffering you're going through. That at one stage it's like it never even happened. So sitting there a few hours a day just doing this one thing, something you want to do, and all of a sudden it's as if you're completely in a different place. And yeah, it just helped a lot being able to do it. So when I realised, okay, this, I have a key to success here for trying to recuperate and help with the pain, I went off, got another one, did the exact same thing again, and bit by bit over the next while, it was as if you could see the mood changing, became a lot more like me, the old me. Put on the costume and your worth changes. You know, all of a sudden now you're this creature, say for the likes of the Predator, the Ninja Turtles, you're this character. You're not, oh, you're in a costume. No, you're this character. Everything changes. Any emotions, anything you felt 10 minutes before putting on this costume completely disappear. As I said before, like, I suffer with my ankle since that injury a few years back. Pain subsides, you know, you're in a completely different zone. You're one with this character, you have people queuing up for photographs. There's adrenaline rush, you know, you're ecstatic, you know, you're jumping around the place, you're having a bit of fun. People queuing up for photographs, you're making people are coming up to you saying, you know, you've made my day, oh, thanks so much for this. And you're looking to say, I've only taken a photograph. But it's not, it's the fact that you're this character, you're this, to some people, you're their hero. Like, when the costume's on, you're a completely different place, you're a different person. You become that character, it's fun, you jump off. The second the costume comes off, you're knackered, you're dying, you need a break, you need water. And half the time you just flake out, you just want to rest. With me, it's a different story. It's a case of I'm gone, I've got a few days, I've got to recover with my ankle, and usually it means bed rest, and I can't do anything for a few days because I'm physically not able to. But for that hour, 2 hours that I was in costume, it was all worth it, because I was old Brian, pain-free Brian, running around having fun.
As well as being a distraction from daily concerns, cosplay is an optimistic art form. It sees everyone as equal and friendly, no matter what time or culture or galaxy they're from.
Cosplay, at the end of the day, it's for everyone. And if it gets more popular, that just means that people are getting a better understanding of what cosplay is and are getting a little bit more tolerant. And, you know, maybe think, hey, maybe those guys aren't all that weird. Maybe we should give it a try.
The practical side of cosplay has meant a return to the traditional skills like stitching and fabric dyeing. Cottage industries have formed to cater for people who need lightsabers, Spartan helmets, robot arms and fairy wings.
A lot of it is kind of trial and error. A lot of my sewing skills, I'm self-taught. so I wouldn't have, you know, the proper grammar, the proper terms, and I'm just kind of guessing and saying, okay, we're going to try it this way. If it works, great. If not, I hope I can save the fabric.
Dressing up is another art form in a way. Like, there's costume designers. It's another, I think cosplay is starting to have a lot of influence on fashion in my sense. Because I remember a while ago, people would stare at you if you wear cat ears. Like, I used to wear cat ears because I think they're cute. But nowadays, it's okay to wear cat ears. So I think cosplay has a huge influence on fashion. I think it's a kind of a subcultural movement in a way. It's very influential. I just think it's a whole new creativity, individuality movement in a way. I wouldn't say it's part of the movement, but I think it's going in that direction. I meet many friends, I gained confidence, I learn more craft skills, I learn new ways of being creative, so many things. But main thing, more friends, and most important lesson, be myself and don't blend in. Be who you want to be.
It can't be long before the cosplayers, artists, writers and filmmakers now meeting at conventions are making their own comics and movies, creating new characters and inspiring the next generation.
There's a hell of a lot of homegrown talent here. You go to some of the conventions and you see these little craft tables and artist alleys and just standard little stalls, and you go over and have a look at them and you really realise there's a lot of talent on our little island. A lot of it you don't know, because these are people who are just sitting at home in their bedrooms or in the kitchen, sitting there sculpting and making all these things. There's a lot of big things to come in Ireland, especially with cosplay going so mainstream now. There's a lot of big things that I still think are bound to happen, and hopefully I'm one of them. But there's a lot of big things that are going to happen in Ireland, and it'd be good to see it, because there's a lot of deserving people out there who deserve to be recognised for their talents.
You have people that's what they want to do in life. They've seen people like Rob O'Teen, who worked on John Carpenter's The Thing, and the special effects he did and his team. And you see somebody like Stan Winston working on the films that he's worked on. And you see the movies like Star Wars and Jurassic Park. All of it's tied together. Everything's linked. You know, it's like one giant circle of life. That people that do this, they have the talents to get into that industry and work in it well and do a job that they love. And at the end of the day, being a geek and being a nerd, that's what it's about. Doing something you love and expressing yourself in a way that nobody really can judge you on. And that's the point of it. Cosplay is already cool, in my mind. I think it's never going to be too cool for anyone. Cosplay is, for the people that do it, and do it religiously, and do it at every convention, and build their own things, and make their own, that is what it's about. It's a calling. Some of these people are some of the best seamstresses you'll ever see, some of the best prop makers you'll ever see. They could get jobs working in the movie industry with the stuff that they make. I don't think it's a case of it being uncool or cool. I think it's just been a case of finding something you love and doing it. And doing it well. And these people do it well. And I think more kudos to them for doing it.
In a cosplay competition, the cosplayers are judged on costume and performance. Some act out in character, some sing, others simply wave and take a bow. For the winners, prizes can include a trophy and merchandise, but there is a sense of achievement for everyone who takes part. Those who have been quietly working away for months get a chance to show off their creations, and those who might be shy and retiring in real life transform into characters who can entertain a hall full of people. The judges have made their decision, and the winner is Emma, who cosplayed as her pet dog, Duchess. The prize is a trip to Portugal to represent Ireland at the Cosplay World Masters competition.
How did I win? I'm like, what? That wasn't planned. I'm going to Portugal? What? Completely, like, shocked here. I'm like, I don't know how I won. I'm just, okay. When I first seen that stage, I kind of said to myself, I can't do that. I cannot do that. That's too big. But once I got on there and I seen everyone look at me, my heart was racing. It was really racing. But I actually looked back because they had a little video thing, and I seen a picture of my original dog. And I said, yeah, I'm Duchess. I'm going to be Duchess. And I calmed down and I did my bit.
Why do they do it?
Hi, my name's Jaden. I'm from Dublin. In real life, I'm a childminder, but today I'm dressed as a human Charizard from Pokemon.
For some, it is a hobby.
My name is Lauren O'Malley and I'm from Longford. In real life, I am a student, just finished my Leaving Cert year, and today I am at Comic-Con dressed as Miss Marvel.
For others, it is a suit of armour.
I'm Michael Dunn. I am from Castleknock, which is over by Blanchardtown. I write books for a living, even though I haven't made a living out of it yet. And I'm Hoxton from Payday.
The shy become brave. The quiet find their voice. It's not about leaping tall buildings or casting spells. It's about believing that anyone who wants to can become a princess, alien, doctor, hero.
Princess Alien, Doctor Hero was produced by Michael Cullen and was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. To listen back to this or any other Newstalk documentary, go to newstalk.com/documentary on Newstalk.